This week on Nevada Backcountry, Henry and I are going to be talking about the Nevada Bowhunters Association, upcoming archery tournaments, and different divisions in tournament archery. If you have any questions or comments, shoot us an email at nvbackcountry@evansbroadcast.com. We're also giving away a wall safe to the listener with the best email this month. Sit back, grab another cup of coffee, and thanks for joining us on Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Dave, talk to me a little bit about NBHA, or Nevada Bowhunters Association. I recently joined. One of the things I saw on there, when you become an NBHA or Nevada Bowhunters Association member, in the list of kind of stuff you get, I saw you're guaranteed a tag every year as a member. No, in all seriousness, talk to me a little bit about the organization, how it benefits bowhunters to be a part of it. I know you're the current president. Am I correct?
Yeah. Well, the Nevada Bowhunters Association, or I'll be referring to them as NBHA, we represent the voice of the bowhunters in Nevada. You know, NBHA is, we're affiliated with the National Field Archery Association, or the NFAA, and that represents our state at a national level. So we're affiliated with them. And then basically the NBHA's purpose is to promote all aspects of archery and protect hunting rights of archers in the state of Nevada. So we will go to the county advisory boards. We will also participate in the wildlife commissions when archery issues are coming up, or if we have something we want to discuss in relation to archery.
Not to cut you off, but perfect example is the let off percentages. And a lot of guys, maybe this stuff isn't on your radar, but it's something I just came across. You technically cannot hunt with a bow in the state of Nevada if you have 90% let off. And by let off, I'm referring to, you know, with a modern compound bow, when you draw back, there's a weight curve and then it kind of stops at your draw length. Whatever that holding weight is, the percentage of let off from the bow's normal draw weight. Talk to me about that. I know that's kind of a hot topic right now, and you guys are actually advocating for a change. Am I correct?
Correct. Yes. So we are getting a proposal together to completely eliminate the let off percentage in the state of Nevada. A lot of the Western states have already done it. And the reason being is a lot of the new bows coming out now are coming out of the box at 90% let off. You can adjust them. You know, some of them have a module, like a mod system, and you can get a different mod or a different cam, and you can go anywhere from 70 to 90%. Some of the even newer bows, the 2023s, actually have a little gear on the cams where you can just get your Allen set and turn the gear, and you can change your let off by like 1% increments. So it is just beneficial to archers out in the field, state agencies, to just eliminate that entirely.
Right. And I mean, I've bow hunted for years. I've never been checked in the field. I'm assuming unless a game warden has a scale, a draw scale or something, they wouldn't check you, period. But what, I mean, that's one of those head scratchers. Is that just a case of legislation not keeping up with technology? Or why would something like that exist in the first place, a let-off regulation?
It was like a fair chase kind of question or concern, where if you had a bow that had like 90% let-off, you could sit there and hold and hold and hold and hold on the animal.
Too much advantage to the archer.
Correct. Okay. Know, to some degree.
Right.
So it was only a few years ago that that the state of Nevada went from a 65% let off to an 80%. And things have moved along so fast since then that it's like, we just need to get rid of it. Just like a lot of the other states. I think Idaho's the only other state that has a let off right now. And theirs is at 85% let off.
Okay. It almost seems like you are increasing, and I don't have any data to back this up, so pure speculation, but when you have these antiquated rules like that with a 65% let-off deal, I would think you would increase wounding rates. It just makes the kill that much more difficult in some instances, to where I would go, well, why wouldn't you want, you know, if you could get everybody shooting 90% let off, make an ethical shot, that's not what we need to be concerned about. That's not the difficult part of archery hunting. But I could be in the minority there.
No, I don't think you're in the minority. That's a good point that you bring up. The 65% let off compared to an 80% let off, it really comes down to, you know, proper form, being right, able to stabilize yourself and having that confidence throughout the entire shot process. You know, if you've got buck fever per se, and it doesn't matter what your let off is, if you start shaking, that's it. I mean, right, it doesn't matter what your let off is. It's just it's about the process.
Okay. Another one, and this is where I'm going with all of this, is to try to encourage listeners to get more involved. I've been on the sidelines for years. I've been a bow hunter, but I haven't really thrown my hat in the ring, so to speak, until recently. But there was the law in Colorado, I believe it was Colorado, where they wanted to implement the Blaze Orange during archery season, where there was that overlap between archery season and muzzleloader season.
Yeah.
They wanted to make it so archers had to wear Blaze Orange. They had a few incidents of, I believe it was archers getting shot by muzzleloader hunters or something along those, or rifle hunters. So that would be something that, if that were to come to pass in the state of Nevada, now we're not a Blaze Orange state, but if at some point, you know, some feel-good legislation started coming down the pipe as far as, hey, well, we need to make everybody safe, we need to eliminate all risk from hunting and make Blaze Orange a thing, and archers need to wear it, that would be something NBHA would go to bat for guys and go
correct
to the state.
Yeah, oh, for sure. If that proposal came along, we would definitely be very involved in the county advisory boards and the wildlife commissions and gathering information to fight that.
So if you care about protecting, preserving archery hunting, it makes sense to join NBHA. It's inexpensive. I think it was $65 for me for a year.
Yeah, because you have to go in and sign up as an NFAA member. And during that process, it asks you what state are you representing, and you'll put in Nevada. And then that automatically makes you a NBHA member.
And that's a big thing, too. You actually have to be an NFAA member to shoot in some of these tournaments or to win prizes.
Okay. Like the money shoots and some of the, like the state belt buckles and stuff. You need to be an NBHA member and NFAA member.
Okay.
Which is basically one and the same.
And it's not involved for people that go, man, I've got chess club, softball league, this, that, and the other thing. I don't have time to be going to a weekly meeting. I'm not going to join up.
No, yeah.
Nothing like that.
Not at all. I mean, we have the NBHA board that deals with a lot of the issues that are going on. We are doing our best to connect all of the clubs together so that, you know, we are working together for a lot of the issues that may be coming up. So, yeah, it's not. Once you're a member, you don't have to go to monthly meeting or yearly meeting. I mean, you're very welcome to come and join and listen in, provide comment, and be an active member if you choose to, but you don't have to be. I mean, we'll be putting out messaging so that you are up to date on what's going on.
And stay tuned. We'll cover a little bit more about NBHA, and then we'll get into some of the classes or divisions in tournament archery, as well as opportunities that are out there to get involved, dip your toe in the waters with tournament archery. If you're just joining us on Nevada Backcountry, David and I are going to get into some of the upcoming tournaments as well as wrap up our first segment on Nevada Bow Hunters Association. Before we left off there and went to break, we had kind of gotten into how NBHA, or Nevada Bow Hunters Association, benefits archers in the state of Nevada. One of the things I wanted to bring up, because it is slightly confusing when I went through it, but when you go to the NBHA website, there is a membership tab. But talk me through a little bit, but you have to be an NFAA member, and then you're automatically a member of the Nevada Bow Hunters Association. So how do people join NBHA?
Good question, because it is kind of confusing. And at this time, we have somebody that is revamping our website so we can try to maybe navigate and make things a little bit easier and more understandable. But when you are becoming a NBHA member, when you click the membership, it'll take you straight to the NFAA membership website. And that can be confusing because it's going to pop up as NFAA and you're going to go, wait a second, trying to sign up for NBHA. What's this NFAA stuff? It is a portal that you've got to go through because you have to become an NFAA member first. And with that NFAA membership, it automatically places you in as a NBHA member once you pick the state of Nevada as your representative state in the NFAA signups. So as you're going through the process, your name, address, you know, all that wonderful stuff there, it'll ask you what state are you affiliated with. Go down and you click Nevada and it automatically will sign you up as an NBHA member.
Okay. It's, like I said, $65, I believe, for an annual membership. And that money, there's very little overhead or anything. Nobody's drawing a salary. It's an all-volunteer organization, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
So that money goes directly back into putting together tournaments, advocating for bow hunters. It's not one of these organizations where there's a CEO drawing a $250,000 a year salary.
No, but I would really like you to request that. That'd be sweet.
I'll send a letter in for you.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
Send a letter in for me. That'd be really nice. No, it's not. So the money that we get from the memberships, as we're moving forward with revamping some of the Nevada Bowhunters Association mission and direction, we're hoping in the future that we can start using those funds to help other clubs in our state help market their clubs so that we can start improving and increasing memberships across the state, as well as putting on a statewide all-around championship archery shoot.
Talk to me about, you know, when you bring up, okay, the money goes towards putting together tournaments or putting together these shoots. We've got a couple shoots coming up right now, one of which I know you're shooting in coming up, the Winnemucca.
It's called a Vegas 3-spot. It's a paper target, and it is a 3-spot target. It is called the Winnemucca 450. So that one is 15 ends of 3 arrows each. One end is 3 arrows.
Right.
And there's 15 of them, scoring a total of 450 points is a perfect score. And that's an indoor paper target tournament. Then later this month in January, a lot of us will be leaving for the Vegas shoot, which is the World Championships.
Right. That's the Super Bowl of archery, the big, even people kind of on the fringes with only a cursory knowledge of archery have heard about the Vegas shoot. They do the live broadcasts on YouTube. I know
ESPN.
That's the big event. Do you have to qualify for that? How does somebody, you can just sign up?
Right. Yeah. So there's several different divisions there as well. You have your pros, which that's the World Championship is the pros. Then there's the rest of us, which would be putting in for what's called the flights divisions.
Okay.
And that is just everyone shooting and you're being flighted as you're shooting for the 3 days that you're participating. And then on the last day, Sunday, you get placed into a flight based on your total scores. And then you shoot in that division. You shoot in that division on Sunday to see if you win the flight. And if you do so, you know, if you're in the top 3, 4, 5, then you will make some money.
Gotcha. Okay. So Vegas coming up.
The first weekend of February. So it's okay. The shoot starts February 3rd and it runs through the 5th.
And I would encourage to sidebar here for a minute. I know where a lot of people listening right now are. It's where I lived for years. It was, I am a successful bow hunter. Why do I want to go shoot in a tournament? But I would encourage bow hunters at home to get off the couch, go shoot in some of these things, get your ego out of the way.
And we get that question a lot, like, why should I come in and shoot indoor paper targets? I mean, I'm right. A bow hunter. I shoot animals. I hunt. I don't need to shoot paper. And that's fine. If you're comfortable with that and you're okay with, you know, after the season's over, you put the bow in the case, it goes in the closet, and then it comes back out in June when you find out if you have tags or not. If that's the program you're playing, that's cool. The issue and the difference between a bow hunter or closet bow hunter, that's like some folks call them, just shoot 2 months out of the year, is they practice. If they can shoot something at 20, 30, 40, 50 yards, that's the size of a 15-inch hubcap, they're happy. They're like, I got this. The animal's mine. You know, no worries.
Right.
Where a tournament archer and a hunter, myself and you and several others, when we're practicing at 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 and out, we're practicing to hit a target the size of a nickel.
Right.
So when you do come down to that critical moment that you've stocked up on this animal, you're ready to take the shot, it's 42 yards away, instead of just aiming for the big chest on the animal and hoping that you hit some good vitals because you're grouping the size of a hubcap, we're aiming at a small little dot or something, you know, the size of a nickel that's on the animal.
Picking a hair
right
off a shoulder.
And then having the confidence to be like, yeah, I can do this. I got this. You know, because you're putting in the repetitions all year long. We shoot year round, indoor tournaments, outdoor tournaments, FIDA tournaments, 3D tournaments. I mean, we're shooting we're shooting every month of the year. You know, we're putting 50,000 arrows down the lane over the course of a year.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever shot my bow as much as I have since June.
Yeah.
And I learned pretty quickly what my weaknesses were. And I've heard every excuse in the book for why guys, I've tried to get some of my friends at bow hunt involved, and I've heard the best one was, well, I'm a contour shooter. I said, well, what is that? And he said, well, I can't aim at a specific spot. I pick the crease behind the shoulder to aim at. So I wouldn't be able to hit a dot. I just mentally couldn't do it. And I thought, well, that's kind of a poor excuse for not getting off the couch and going to shoot. That seems like a weird excuse. But again, for me, my whole goal, I'll never stand on a podium.
You can't say that, man.
Well, okay, fair enough.
You're getting pretty good, I'll tell you that.
Well,
I shoot next to you sometimes. You're starting to dial it in.
I'll take the compliment. But the reality is, you know, it's not the podium. I doubt I'll ever win money doing it. For me, it's making myself a more well-rounded bow hunter and a better bow hunter, period. I've been on hunts with guys where either that moment of truth, they struggled to draw the bow back, or they had buck fever so bad. I've seen all this stuff happen in the field, and I realize I need to put in the work to be a better bow hunter. So it makes sense for people to get involved in some of these tournaments. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here after the break.
Yeah, you guys can send us an email at nvbackcountry@evansbroadcast.com.
The letter N, the letter V, backcountry@evansbroadcast.com. And make sure if you're listening at home, stay tuned. We've got Gun Talk with Tom Gresham coming up at 11 on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, this is Henry from Nevada Backcountry. David and I sincerely appreciate you listening, and as our way of saying thanks, we're giving away a brand new Reliant digital wall safe. This is a great way to safely and discreetly store jewelry, important documents, or even handguns. All you have to do to enter is send us an email with your questions, comments, or suggestions for upcoming show topics. We read every email we get, and at the end of the month, we'll sit down and pick one lucky winner. So give it your best shot, make us laugh, make us do some research, or stump us completely. Don't miss out on your chance to win.
Thanks for joining us today on Nevada Backcountry, where we are talking about Nevada Bow Hunters Association and our state tournaments. You know, the Nevada Bow Hunters Association was incorporated in 1983, so it's just one of those organizations that is finally starting to gain some traction.
And it's a nonprofit, correct?
Correct. Yes, we are a nonprofit, so we have been looking into improving some of our ranges throughout the state with particular nonprofit grants. We're working on making those connections with some of our clubs that need some of the help with some of their ranges, improvements, and targets. We're really working at kind of creating a business plan, in a sense, on how we can get out there and promote archery across the board from kids to adults. So we have been partnering up the last few years with an organization called S3DA. So it's a Scholastic Archery Program for kids. Families get involved a great deal. The parents and stuff really get jacked about all of this because their kids are super excited about an activity. And I think maybe they're just excited about getting the kids out of the house as well, out from the televisions and their video games. But the Scholastic, it is a program where kids learn how to shoot a bow, learn about conservation, learn about hunting, learn about the ethics of hunting and being a team player.
And you've heard me tell the story before, but my daughter is the one that got me into this whole tournament archery, indoor target shooting, all that. She's a member of that. JOAD is the acronym. It's the Junior Olympic Archery Development Program.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty high and lofty. The reality is, it's a great opportunity for her to work on focusing for an hour. It's 1 hour a week.
Yeah.
She goes and shoots. And how many times have you heard parents complain, got another email from the school, my kid's not focusing in class, you know, this, that, and the other thing, my kid can't buckle down at school, we're having problems. Night and day difference with my 9-year-old, her ability to focus on something for an extended period of time, you can't just go through the motions. You have to focus on every part of breaking the shot, where is your pin on the target. So that's one thing. I'm glad you brought up the youth aspect to it, because I would highly encourage people to get your kid involved. I think it's one of the best things you can do in a world like you alluded to, where everything is this instantaneous gratification. It's social media, it's video games. You cannot put in 30 seconds of focus and shoot accurately for an entire hour.
Right, exactly. So it all starts with the NASP program, which is the National Archery in the Schools program, which the state of Nevada has. And as those kids that get involved in those programs, a lot of them, I'd say the bulk of them, have never touched a bow in their lives. The school offers this program. Kids get involved because they're like, wow, this looks kind of neat. I want to try it. They start shooting and it just lights this little bit of a fire under them. And they're starting to hit targets and they're starting to feel good about how they're shooting. The next progression is a JOAD program and then the S3DA program. So there's this really cool promotional aspect of the archery world with all of our coaching and our USA coaches. There's several of us in this area that are USA certified, you know, level 2, 3, and 4 coaches. And taking these kids and getting them to understand, you know, how to focus, and then putting that all together like a puzzle, and watching these kids just glow when they start hitting that nickel X at 20 yards and they're doing it repetitively.
I've seen it with my daughter. And the thing I like, well, there's a lot of things I like, but one of the best parts of it, how many times have you heard, you know, people out there listening right now have probably complained about it, but the participation trophy generation.
Yeah,
and the
there's
thing,
not that. There's
no,
not that
absolutely.
In archery.
I've had those tough conversations. We'll leave after JOAD, and my daughter is just, she's down in the dumps, didn't earn her next pin, didn't progress to the next level. And the reality is, hey, you don't get a participation trophy.
Yeah,
there's
you got to put in the time, man.
There's no gray area. You either shoot the score to get the next pin or you don't. And with kids, I think they need to learn that aspect of life where you've got to put in the work. And that was a tough conversation with my daughter. And yeah. I had to have that. How much do you shoot at home?
Yeah. Well, you got to let them fail. I mean, that's the one big component that's kind of missing now in this participation trophy world that we're in, is you learn so much from failure.
Absolutely.
And you have to do it. You've got to fall down every now and then to realize, okay, I got to get back up. And how do I repair this, or how do I improve this so I don't fall again? The other really cool thing is you hear these kids today and they are idolizing the YouTube kids and these TikTokers and the music performers and stuff. And that's like, that's the people they want to idolize. And you go into one of these archery communities, you go into one of the shops where you've got a JOAD team or an S3DA team or people shooting, and these kids are talking about Paige Pierce and Jesse Broadwater and Bodie Miller, and you know, they're talking about archery pros. They are wanting to emulate that. And like, did you see Jesse Broadwater shoot in the ASA tournament? And so it's a different component. And these are good, like, down to earth type of people that.
Well, there was the Jesse Broadwater twerking incident.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, if I'm going to have my kid idolize somebody, I'd rather have them looking up to these people that are just decent human beings and good role models for kids, not somebody that made headlines for provocatively licking a microphone or, you know, some such nonsense. So 100% agree with you on that.
No, it's fantastic. So I definitely encourage people to come down, give it a shot, and, you know, take a chance, and especially all the archers that are out there that put their bow away at the end of the year, leave it out. Take it down to your local shop and do some shooting. There's leagues, year-round leagues that you can get yourself involved in. It's not like you don't have to have a huge time commitment. The leagues are every week. If you want to show up every week, that's great. If you want to show up every other week, that's cool. Get yourself involved, man. Really fine-tune that shooting.
Anytime you get into the weeds with a hobby, there's always that intimidation factor. And I experienced it at first going from that, like, okay, I shoot a couple months out of the year. Now I'm going into an archery shop. I'm shooting competitively. I have to put my money where my mouth is. The reality is, archery has been the most welcoming community of all the weird stuff I've gotten into over the years. There's no gatekeeping. Now, there's some good-natured heckling on the line at shoots.
Oh, yeah. That's just common.
That's life.
That's just life.
That's been a locker room since middle school. But the reality is, holy smokes, my daughter got involved, and right from the get, it was people offering advice, people helping her. You know, at the youth level, well, at the adult level as well, there's none of that gatekeeping nonsense. There's no, hey, you're not in the club, you don't know the secret handshake. Right from the start, it's been a welcoming community. It's an absolutely incredible experience. Everybody's a little off anyway. I mean, we're talking about
I'm way
archery.
Off.
Yeah. There's,
ask anyone that knows me. I'm way off.
There's some of that. I've seen it with my daughter where you stick her in a big group and it's kind of like, oh, okay, this is awkward. But you get her on a line with a dozen other kids who are all there just to shoot their bow. They're not interested in what you're wearing. They're not interested in how you look. They are strictly interested in whether or not you can shoot. And I think it's a great community for kids.
Yeah, and some of our JOAD groups, it is fantastic to just sit back and watch them shoot. And you may have one kid who's having a bad day and they miss the target, or, you know, just whatever it might be, and they're completely down in the dumps. And it's so cool to watch the other kids rally around them, pick them up, like, hey, it's all right, no, you're doing fine, you know, you're shooting just fine. And they come around, and then we'll have folks come in that plateau, and they don't know why they can't get any better from where they are. They're like, I want to shoot further, I want to shoot better. People around the shop will start helping them, just like out of the blue, like, hey, do this, maybe focus on this, maybe. And next thing you know, the person's transforming and they're fine-tuning their shot a little bit better, we've had several folks that have done that, come in out of the blue, had some issues, started shooting a little better, and now they're in our leagues. They're like, I want to do this more.
Join us on the final segment coming up after the break. We're going to be getting into divisions in tournament archery on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hopefully over the break, everybody had a chance to refill their coffee. We are back on Nevada Backcountry with David and I. And final segment here, first little bit of housekeeping. Again, we're going to be giving away a wall safe to one lucky listener. All you've got to do, email us a question, a comment, something you're interested in, something you'd like to see us cover on the show in future episodes. Shoot us an email. It's nvbackcountry@evansbroadcast.com, and you're automatically entered to win the wall safe. Now, getting into this last segment here, let's talk about some of the divisions in tournament archery. So if you're listening at home going, well, you guys have been talking about kids and everything. I'm in my late 60s. I like shooting a bow. I don't want to be shooting with a bunch of 9, 10, 11-year-olds. David, talk me through some of the divisions in tournament archery.
The Nevada Bowhunters Association follows the National Field Archery Association's rules and bylaws pertaining to, you know, all of the archery divisions. So there are three major factors when it comes to determining your bow class and your division. And that is, number one is gender. It's pretty simple in the archery world. It's either male or female. Number two is your age. And number three is your shooting style. So a lot of folks have this misconception that, well, if I shoot tournament archery, I need to buy a new bow and I need all this fancy stuff. And no, you don't. You can shoot anything you want. There's a division for it. So there are 10 total divisions in the NFAA bylaws. The only one that Nevada Bowhunters Association does not have at our tournaments is the crossbow division.
To steal a phrase from Pope and Young, it's got to be a vertical bow.
Correct. So again, those are the three major factors. So then you go into the actual divisions. So there you have the Cub division, which is 11 years old and younger. Then you have the Youth division, and these are the age classes. The Youth division, which is 12 years old to 14 years old. Then you have the Young Adult division, 15 to 17. The largest division is adults, is 18 to 49. Then you get into the Senior division, Senior Adult, and that's 50 to 59, Silver Senior, 60 to 69, and then Master Senior, 70 and up.
Okay, so there's something for everybody.
Everybody can come out. We've been to shoots. I actually shot in a California shoot a couple years back where an older gentleman was shooting with us, and fantastic shooter. He was shooting a longbow. Just through conversation, he goes, yeah, I just had my 86th birthday. And we were like, oh my God. It was awesome to see him out there, and he was tearing the course up.
And the longbow thing, really quick, I want to go back to the equipment aspect, because that is that can be a little bit of an intimidation factor. And the reality is, even if you have a bow at home, barring any kind of weird cobbled together PVC homemade thing, don't show up with that. But if you have a bow you purchased at a box store or something, there is a class or a division for you. You don't need to go out and spend a couple thousand dollars on a new setup. You can show up with your hunting bow, and is a division for that.
Yeah. After you've determined your gender, after you've determined...
No, that was determined at birth.
That was determined at birth. And then you figure out how old you are. So then you go into your shooting style. So there's quite a few of those. You have your freestyle, freestyle limited recurve, bare bow hunter. So that's where a lot of individuals will sit because they want to shoot with their hunting bow. So that would be your bow hunter division. So this division includes, you know, all compounds. The bow hunter is with fingers. So if you're using a mechanical release, you go into the bow hunter freestyle division. And you can't have a stabilizer longer than 12 inches. And you can use a wrist strap or a hinge release, a mechanical release.
Right. So, and then when you get into the freestyle
division,
that's when you start seeing the extremely expensive, longer axle to axle bows, the 30 plus inch stabilizer out front, the sidebar, the magnified scope, all that kind of stuff. But you don't need that to get involved.
No, not at all. I mean, because there's a traditional, or what we call trad, but the traditional division. Then you have the longbow division. So these are all you, anything you can bring out, except for your PVC made bow.
Homemade bow,
There's a division for it. Now, there may need to be a few tweaks here and there if you come out with your bow hunting setup. That's a, you know, have that has your mechanical release or your bow hunter freestyle, but you show up with a long 30 inch stabilizer, you're going to get bumped up into the freestyle division. And that's going to be a fairly big disadvantage for you if you're like fixed pins. When you do decide what division you want to be in, you've definitely got to go on to NFAA.com, go into the divisions, the shooting divisions, and you can see the definition for each division of what is allowed on your bow. What type of draw system you need? Is it fingers? Because some of them are like the traditional. You have to have your fingers against the arrow during the draw cycle. You can't creep, or you move your fingers up and down the string to help you aim.
I've seen that. Component. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So in some of these divisions, you're not allowed to do that.
And I would encourage people listening to go to a local archery pro shop, ask the question. You'll leave 2 hours later with more information than you'll ever be able to process.
And probably a new bow.
Go and ask and say, hey, look, here's what I've got. I heard about this tournament archery stuff. I want to start getting involved. What do I sign up for? And believe me, the shop you and I shoot at, they probably get sick of seeing me in there, but I just go and ask and they will point you in the right direction.
Yeah. And you, when you go to the local pro shops, you're going to be dealing with archers that are complete geeks when it comes to archery. And they're going to geek out on you. If you mention, help me, I want to get into archery, you might want to find a chair.
Yeah, before you know it, I'll use myself as an example. Before you know it, if you walk in and say, hey, I'm interested in this, holy smokes, next thing I know, I'm a USA archery member. I'm
NFAA
member. I'm
NBHA,
now
yeah.
All just, that
you're
stuff.
Everything.
Yeah, you and
you're everything.
I realized, okay, this is what I got to do. This is kind of that next step in my archery evolution. Yeah. But joining these organizations, going in, they love the sport so much. Half the time, you don't even have to buy anything. They're just happy to talk archery. So don't have that reservation. Oh, I'm going to go in, I'm going to get a sales pitch for a $1,700 bow, and it's going to be uncomfortable and this, that, and the other thing. The reality is most people in the sport are just happy to talk about the sport. Go in, ask questions.
Yeah, because they're going to bring up things that you don't have questions for. You didn't even know that there was questions about, you know? Henry, the times you go in there and you're showing them your bow and they're going, well, what's the spine of your arrow? And you're like, what? This what?
I have no idea.
I don't even know what you just said.
I see a chiropractor regularly.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, well, are you shooting a 23? Are you shooting a 27? Are you going skinnies? And you're just blown away. You're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then they'll explain it, and then it makes sense. And you're like, oh, okay, I get it. So there's a lot of stuff that you don't even know that you want to know.
You don't know what you don't know.
Right. So it's pretty cool stuff, though. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening this week. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. Next up is Gun Talk with Tom Gresham at 11 a.m. And please join us next week on Nevada Backcountry from 10 to 11 on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.